All right, welcome aboard on a Thursday. We solve all the world's problems in about 2 hours. That's what we do here on the Dennis Stuckey Show. And today we have a special guest, Commissioner Jeff Blum.
Hey, Commissioner, yeah. Good Commissioner, all right.
The commish Blummer, of course, we all know from Border Cat days. And I'm sure just about everybody in town knows Jeff Blum. Who doesn't? Is there anybody in town that doesn't know you, Blummer?
I don't know. There might be a few people. Everybody joked about 10 years ago I should have ran for mayor, but I'm not that big into politics.
Neither am I. But this is serious stuff. I know some of you are out there rolling your eyes, but you have to come and experience the Wiffle Ball World Series. It's played in Blummer's backyard, and you've got a pretty decent, a big enough backyard that you can put a baseball stadium in it.
Yeah, we have that, and then we also use my neighbor's yard, who's very gracious, Scott, and his wife, Melissa. You know, they let us use the yard there, so we set up two fields for the weekend.
And you have several divisions and a ton of teams, and it is just wall-to-wall people. It is like on your street. For that weekend in August, it's like Mardi Gras. Your yeah. neighbors must love you. Or they must all be over there being involved in the event.
You know, I don't know how much they love me. I know the ones within a couple doors accept me. The neighbor across the street, you know, he offered to allow parking in his yard, so that was nice. As far as outside of that circle, I don't know that they like me or dislike me. I haven't really talked to the rest of them.
It's great. Like, how many people do you think are going to be over the weekend of the 10th, 11th, and 12th?
Well, I think it's like easily throughout the 3 days is easily over 300 people. I mean, not at one time, but in and out. We've got 38 teams this year, which is the most we've ever had. At a minimum of 3 players per team. So, I mean, we're right up to 115 just with players. And then the parents and the friends and, you know, the families and stuff. So it's definitely growing. It's definitely growing from the first year when we were in the backyard. Scotty Nichols, we had this wood, you know, fence up around the yard, and it was all dirt. And, you know, we were playing wiffle ball, and we had some drop-in games. And he came up with this bright idea. Why don't you have a thing where you bring the best 3 guys, and we'll play one day, and we'll call it the Wiffle Ball World Series. And that's how we started. And we started it the next year. We brought it was started with 8 teams. And then, you know, the next year, you know, we had the kids and we needed a kids division. So we had the kids division. Then it was a family division. And we had a family division that lasted for about 2 years. And now we have the majors, which is just under the big guys division. So it's a little confusing a little bit, but it's pretty simple. The 3 divisions are championship. We call it 18 and over. It's not per se that, but it's just more for the older guys. The majors is considered 16 and under, but you'll have, and we just use age as a criteria. Mm-hmm. We'll place you accordingly. And then the minors is 12 and under. And the biggest difference is in the championship and majors, we pitch. And then for the kids division, we have an adult pitch to the kids.
And people, these teams come, they all have their own uniforms. They all have team names,
yeah.
And if you're playing on, I call it the main field,
right?
If you're playing on the main field where you've got the scoreboard out in center field, I kid you not, and I don't know who does this and how much time they spend on it, but they do a great job because each team that's in the tournament, you got the little name plaque for them, so when they're playing, their little name plaque goes up on the scoreboard, and it's got. You know, the team name, and if they've got like a little emblem or whatever. I mean, you do it up big time.
Well, you just brought up 2 great points. Well, we just finished the nameplates last night, my wife and my son, and, you know, we printed them. They cut them out. They laminated and cut them again. So all the nameplates are ready to go. As far as the jerseys, we just finished the jerseys last night also. Every team picks their name, and we order the jerseys, do the logos, do the cutting, and make all the shirts for everybody. So we're about a week and a half ahead on some of that little stuff. I remember a couple of years back, it was 3 in the morning and we're pressing shirts in my kitchen. Me, my wife, and Scott Gosman are all in the kitchen. And then him and I decided that it'd be really smart, you know, like washers. Well, when we were done, we're throwing pistachio nuts like we're playing washers. Like, I mean, how do we come up and betting $5 a game on this, playing up to 21? Who can get the pistachio nut closest to the, you know, that line there?
You guys have some issues.
Yeah, we did. we did have some issues that night.
And you get some of them, I think, from
and we were just drinking Coke that night, believe me.
Yeah. This is the night before the big event, so you're taking it serious.
Right.
You got guys that come out and umpire because there are rules. Wiffle ball and baseball look the same, but they're not the same.
Right.
So you've got rules because when you hit the ball, they're not running bases.
No.
So like what? You hit the ball, and if it stops, it's a base hit.
If it stops, it's a base hit. If the fielder bobbles it, it's a base hit. If it goes all the way to the wall, it's a double. If it flies and hit the wall, it's a triple. Obviously, if it goes over the fence, it's a home run. But we do have the tree rule that if it does hit a tree, even though it would have been over the fence and comes back in the field of play, it's a live ball. If it's caught, it's an out. If it hits the ground, it's a triple.
Wow.
So,
yeah, you got some big trees, too.
Yeah, there are. And I know a lot of the lefties aren't happy. I told them I grew another tree in right field. The one guy we try to keep at bay, Liam Jukacki. He's a big lefty power hitter, and I told him we planted another big tree in right field there for him.
it's awesome. You need to go to the website and there's a great overhead shot of the field in your backyard. And when you see that shot, you can fully appreciate why this is so cool.
It's funny, you go on Google Maps and it shows that airline shot, and there's like, that's my yard. There's a baseball field in my yard. Like, you see the base paths and everything. It's definitely fun. It's a fun weekend, and it's definitely growing, and it's just a good weekend to, you know, see a lot of family, a lot of friends, a lot of people you don't get to see throughout the year. And I think that's a good correlation. It's basically 3-day Mardi Gras, wiffle ball, you know, it's a lot of fun, and this year we're actually starting a couple games on Thursday night just because we added four more teams than we ever had. So we're looking forward to it.
All right, so I'm going to go out on the 10th, and we did this last year too, and I had such a good time. We're going to come back out on the 10th and just broadcast. We'll sit out in center field on the deck there. I love it. There's a press box. And then a little deck, and then the scoreboard. And we sat up. It rained on us for most of the time we were there last year, but we'll have good weather this year.
I hope so. It's rained the last couple of years we've had rain to deal with. But we got the quick dry, and last year we had tarps to cover the dirt. It really saved us. That was my neighbor's idea, and we had this big tarp, and when it rained, we put it over pitcher's mound and home plate. And I tell you what, it did save the field. Didn't put us that far behind, which was nice.
Yeah, there were some people. Who was there? Somebody was there for the first time, and they were having so much fun. And it's just on the tip of my tongue, and I can't think of who it was that I was talking to. But they're like, this is great. I can't believe we didn't do this before.
Right.
Who was that?
Was it Eric Smith?
Yeah, Smith. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He's like, this is just crazy. I can't believe this has been going on for this many years, and this is the first time I've played in this. I'm pretty sure you have him hooked for.
Oh yeah, he's back, and you know his son has a team, and I think Spinny, they got one team in a championship division, and their other one's in the minors division.
Yeah, well, McKillop and I keep threatening, and we keep not getting that third party.
I've been waiting. I had a good name for you guys and everything. Could have been the Dust Devils. You got McKillop, Stucky, and where's this? Where's Beeden? Wasn't there some home run competition?
He goes to Wayne State though, and this is the start of football season. He's a football player, so we lose him now until Thanksgiving before we'll see him again. If you pushed it into July, I might be able to swing that.
Well, we can recruit you a third. I don't know. I believe Bobby would show up, though.
He says that he'd do it.
He's pretty good. He's played a few times out there. He's never played in this weekend, but he's played some pickup games, and when we had the league, some league games. And
They did do the home run contest, and believe it or not, that old fart won.
I believe it. He's got a lot of power behind him nowadays.
He is extremely competitive. I will say that about him. Let's go to the phones here, Blummer. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Stack.
Hey, Donnie.
Is Blummer there?
Blummer's there, but I don't think he can hear you right now because I didn't hook him up with some headsets.
I figured that would be – if there was anybody that was going to call in today, it was going to be Donnie Curtis, no question.
What do you got,
Donnie? Can you hear me?
I'm working on it. You keep talking.
Okay. Hey, I think that's great that you got this going, Blummer. It's good for the community, and, you know, it gets everybody together, and it's got those old memories going, about the days of the Border Cats and all the fun you guys had and entertained this town, boy, for a long time. And I just think it's fantastic.
We had fun on the Border Cats?
Well, that's what I called it, Blummer, but maybe to you guys it wasn't that way when you had to.
We had a lot of fun. Those were some good times here, definitely, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I've got what I wanted to call about, Blummer. I've got a game jersey. I've got two of them of your game jersey. I'm going to give you one because I didn't know if you had a game jersey or not.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, I've got a white one, the one trimmed in the blue and the yellow and the red.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you one because I've got two of them. I want to keep one in my collection, but I've got a couple of them, and I thought, you know, maybe you'd like one. So
sure, thank you very much. And I know Chucky Ouellette's got one. He was wearing one at a game this year. Sent me a picture.
Exactly. Well, they're going to get scarce. They're starting to now. So, you know, I've got plenty of stuff, and I wanted to make sure you got one. I didn't know what you had, but I also have a lot.
Sure, you don't want to put that up on eBay, like next to Gretzky's jersey? It might go for pretty close, Donnie. You might be able to retire.
It's got to be close. I agree, buddy. But I've got a bunch of sticks, too. I'm going to look up. I got some game sticks of yours. So, you know, I got that. Sully passed on, and he ended up. I had a huge collection, and then it took me 3 days to get his collection over to my house.
Oh, my. Yeah, you bet he had a big collection.
You wouldn't believe what he had. I mean, I thought I had a big collection. He had double what I had, so I had to enter it into mine. So I'm going to give a few things away, you know.
For sure.
Hey, keep up the good work, Blummer. I can't wait to hear the results. And with Stuck going over there and going to broadcast, it'll be fantastic to hear.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, Donnie.
Thank you, Blummer.
All right, see you, Donnie. All right.
Fun on the Border Cats. That's an understatement.
Unfortunately, the really good stories we can't tell on the air. No. But that was a fun time. I talk about it a lot with Keller. That was a unique group. It really was. Like, that was the perfect storm right there. There were a lot of guys that were different, but it all worked when it put you all in one room.
Yeah, over a couple of years, there were a lot of different guys. And I got to admit, we got pretty excited. And about October, Shane had gotten a hold of me and said Flint challenged us to play an alumni game. And Costa was going to set it up. And a big debate was, were we going to play at McMoran or were we going to play in Flint?
I think you do a home and home. I think you play one night.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. And Duhart was supposed to be behind it. I reached out to Nelly. I reached out to Chewy. And we started at Dabber over in Sarnia. Everybody was getting excited. I said, they challenged us. We're going to play them. And nothing ever came to fruition. It was kind of disappointing. I think it would have been a lot of fun to play a home and home. And that was my suggestion. We got to play in both places. And I'd love to do that. I'd love to get the guys together and I mean, those are two characters I just gave you, Nelly and Chewy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I hear from both of them through text, not too often, but you were right. I mean, there were some great guys here. I mean, we started in Detroit with a group of young guys and ended up coming up here and adding some different players. And we were really tight from day one down there. Dave Cameron as a head coach was awesome. And it was definitely a lot of fun, and some good friendships were made. And when we came here, it was just it was a great experience. We had Costa, and I still laugh about Costa, and I still think he's the best as far as promoting and what he did. I mean, Meyer opened up in Marysville. He had us there signing autographs. And a guy could get you to do anything. And I'll give you one Costa story. It's probably the best story ever. So he calls me up, middle of summertime, Thursday night, boat night. Family night, and calls me up in the morning. Blummer, yes, Costa, I need a big favor tonight. Anything you want. big favor. You available? Yep, Costa, I'm available. What do you need? I'll do it. I need you to come down tonight between 5 and 7 and dress up as the cat. Absolutely not. Come on, Blummer. You told me you were free. Absolutely not. He wanted me to dress up as the mascot. So after going about 10 minutes back and forth, and I had, I think I wanted like 25 yacht club tickets for Friday night, we ended up negotiating, and instead of me paying for those yacht club tickets, he took care of those, and I came downtown, and for family night, I dressed up as a cat.
And you're not the only player to ever put the mascot suit on, because we've talked about the story about Nelly putting on the mallard suit and running around the hotel.
Yeah.
With the commissioner there, too.
Yeah, with the commissioner, with all the GMs. He was part of security that night, too, by the way.
Yeah. I think he put the girl duck suit on, too, because they had a boy and a girl duck suit.
Who knows with him? He probably had the girl hat on with the boy bottoms or vice versa. I don't think there really is with ducks, but you never know him. That's one character that I could tell you, he served a lot of different jobs in this town. I remember one night he was a jukebox repairman. Yep. At the office. He was down at the All-Star game dressed up like mascots. He was security that night also at the hotel there, Thomas Edison.
He had
a walkie-talkie and everything.
An absolute classic. We got to take a break, but Blummer's going to hang around for a little while longer, so stay with us. All right, so if you've met Jeff Blum, there's a chance you've met John Blum, too. Jeff's older brother, former Red Wing, briefly. And he coached the Border Cats for part of that, the second year that they were here in town. So you skate where, down in Fraser or somewhere?
Mount Clemens, yeah.
Mount Clemens?
Yeah.
And some of the Red Wing guys sometimes come out and skate?
Yeah, there's a skate Monday, Wednesday, and some of the Red Wing guys and junior guys and pro guys skate, so...
So Witkowski, who plays for the Red Wings, was out there, and he was talking in the locker room. And, of course, your brother is famous for one-line zingers. What went on with this story?
Well, and I wasn't there that day. My brother told me this story. So especially coming from him, it's kind of funny. I guess Witkowski was in the locker room telling him Blashill wants him to score 10 goals this year. And my brother looks at him and goes, what league? He goes, so I only scored one goal 197 games. So I guess Witkowski got a big kick out of it.
What league?
Typical of my brother, and they had a good time and a good chuckle about it.
He was fun. He proposed at center ice before one of our games.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
And that was in he was coaching Saginaw, and we were the visiting team that night.
Yeah, that was a mistake. We won't go down that road, though.
He did a lot of fun things. The first night he coached our team, we were in Winston-Salem, and there were some kids behind the bench, college-age kids, I guess, that were giving us a hard time. So he took all the white towels and he taped them up with hockey tape across the glass so that these kids looked into our bench, all they saw were towels.
You know, we talked about characters before the break. That's definitely a character. Dad, he was here when they first came here, even before the team started with Costa, and spent the summer here. And it was because he was Dave's assistant, Cameron's assistant. So he did a lot in the community with Costa that summer. And then right before his season started, that's when he went to Saginaw to be the head coach.
Yeah, Saginaw was in some trouble, and your brother went in there. And actually, probably if he doesn't go there, that team probably wouldn't even have started the season. Yeah. And then we had an instant rivalry with them, not just because Saginaw was close like Flint, but because he got there and he needed players in that. Anybody we cut from camp that year, he took on, and most of the trades that he made early in the season were with us. So right. A lot of our guys ended up in Saginaw, and I remember Kenny Blum jumping into the penalty box. Who's he going after?
I can't remember. I can't remember him either, but
I remember him jumping, and it was like Slapshot, because he's in the penalty box, and all you see are his feet up in the air kicking.
The rivalry, and, you know, every time we played, there was a $50 bounty, whoever hit me the hardest. Steve Shannon does it a couple of years later. He gets banned for life.
He gets banned for life.
That was every day affair when we played.
And they're not even really sure that Shannon even did that. I don't
right.
Having I've only I, only
I know,
know
the
him a
truth, and I'm going to plead the fifth right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I only know yeah, a little
Shannon's
bit
about innocent.
It. Because he was only here for that part of year with the junior team.
And if somebody put a $200 bounty on Kevin Kerr, believe me, somebody would have tried to collect it. Nobody even touched him. I know the truth.
That's funny. Well, I mean, I'll say this. And at the time, I didn't like it because it knocked Port Huron out of the playoffs. But he was the guy that got those NHL guys to play in the league during the lockout.
Yeah, he did. He was pretty smooth.
Yeah, that was a lot of PR for a league that in those days we didn't get a whole lot of respect. Even though I thought we were at that point, the East Coast League is different now. But at that point, we were just as good as that league.
Yeah, definitely.
And we were better than the Central League and the Western Leagues.
Definitely. And I mean, he had who do you have there? Chelios played and. Hatch and
Smolinski.
Smoke played, yeah.
Avery was there, too.
Avery was there,
I didn't
too.
Like him.
Yeah, yeah. there was one more. I remember.
I think Drapes was going to play, and then at the last second, he decided
well,
not to.
Well, my brother, when he knew he was going back, he go, you're going to come back and play. And I hadn't been playing for 3 years. You can come back and play. Me and Shannon are taking over. I'm like, well, I don't know. I'll come skate, whatever. So all of a sudden, these NHLers come in. Okay, you want me to come practice? What? No, we got Hatch. And maybe Lidstrom's coming. So what are you saying? You were begging me for 3 weeks. Now all of a sudden, you got Hatcher and Lidstrom?
Come on. You got Hatcher and Lidstrom. Do you need anybody else? You get Chelios
no,
in there? You need
yeah,
anybody
yeah,
else?
Chelios, yeah. You could be Chelios' partner. And all of a sudden, Hatcher comes in. I was out.
Is Hatcher still over in Sarnia, right?
Yeah, he's actually doing, from what I know, a pretty good job over there. I think he's a nice job with that team. Haven't paid attention much, but every time I hear it, it seems like they're doing pretty good. Wow. He's the coach, and actually Dave Legwan and him, I think, are both the owners from what I know. So
good stuff. Yeah, you mentioned Costa. I always like to tell the story that the Border Cats almost didn't come here to Port Huron. We were really close. Morris Snyder, Dave Branch, and I forget. His name was Ike Abelli. I can't remember his first name. But he was a guy, he owned a canning company in Leamington, and they had the OHL here in McMoran. They had the deal done, and all the guy had to do was sign the check and slide it across the table to Mr. Branch, and we had a hockey team, and I was fortunate enough. Morris had invited me over because this was a big deal to him, and it had been his lifelong dream to get OHL into Port Huron playing at McMoran. And I remember at the last second, the guy just bailed on it. He looked at the check and the amount that was on it, and he's like, I just don't think I'm going to get my money back.
Yeah.
And he ripped up the check and apologized for wasting everybody's time, and he went back to Leamington. And like a week later, Costa was calling me on the phone going, hey, man, we're bringing our team up. You know, get on the radio to let everybody know.
I think the OHL would be great here. I don't know if they could ever pull it off. And I know with the mileage with Sarnia now. But I know years ago, and he's not the owner anymore, talking with Cicerelli, he would have loved to see an OHL team here. And I think it would be, I don't know, maybe we were just fortunate those first couple of years with the Border Cats, but the people that we met here and the friends that I made and, you know, joke about, you know, knowing a lot of people, a small town. I mean, I came here, fell in love with the city and, you know, got to meet a lot of good people, good friends, and, you know, I've made it my home and I, you know, like being here. And I think, I still believe, I don't like when people say, well, it's not a hockey town. You'll never make hockey survive there. I think that's a bunch of BS. I think if you got the right people involved here to, you know, get out in the community, and you and I talk, you know, how many times were some of these local businesses burned by it? You know, just that, you know, getting back in with those local businesses and being able to trust who's running the hockey team here. I think a league like that could work. I think a USHL team would work here. I know they had tried coming in a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we were close to that, and that ended up being the OHL team in Flint now.
Right, yeah, and they went to Flint. So, I mean, you need the right person. You need a guy like Costa, you know, who was in the community shaking the hands and, you know, meeting everybody, and I just think he was, when it comes to promoting a team. He's one of the best I've seen, and just what he did here. I mean, in a couple of years we were here.
Yeah, he's his girl's what, a soccer player?
I think so. Yeah,
he keeps posting videos with her. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about your daughter because I only have you for about a few more minutes here. But your daughter Madeline is a big time golfer, and I know that's part of the reason that I had a hard time getting you to come in here.
Yeah,
because you're always chasing her around to the various places that she's golfing in.
Yeah, we've been traveling quite a bit this year. She's be going in her junior year, and that's her passion is golf. And we started in February, and we've been Nashville, Kentucky, Chicago. Every week it finally just died down here, and then she'll be starting at high school with next week. So she loves it. She's, needs to work at it. She's got big, big dreams about she wants to go play in college, and, who knows if she works hard enough, maybe fortunately somewhere after that, she's got to work for it. That's the one thing we preach to her every day, but it's been a lot of fun watching her. I do enjoy it. It's different than any other sport you watch. It's not like baseball. It's not like hockey.
Yeah, you can't sit up there in the bleachers and shout and let your emotions out. You got to kind of keep that in, don't you?
Yeah, and they have rules. Like, you're not allowed to talk to them. Like, you can say good shot and stuff like that, and you're supposed to stay so many yards away from them. And, but they're out there by themselves. And, when they're doing great, you're doing great with them. When they're doing bad, like, you could see the frustration, and I could see the frustration in her face, and you're there with them. They're by themselves, and it's so much different than watching my son play hockey, and I'm on the bench when he plays hockey anyway. But it's just so much different. It's just it's very interesting to have a daughter that plays an individual sport. And I mean, it's like any sport, but it's just a lot of fun watching her, and this has been a busy summer as far as that goes, and we'll see what the future holds for her and that.
Sometimes I feel like the rules that you got for golf there for the parents,
yeah,
they should have for the other sports too.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I remember going.
A lot of nights I've been in hockey rinks where I thought, they should just play this game with nobody in the rink except the players.
Absolutely. I joke about it all the time. When I went to that golf meeting and said the rule was you had to stay 30 yards away, I said, can you come down to the ice rink and we implement this same rule? I always tell parents, I would coach kids again if they drop them off at the door and come back and pick them up when I'm done with them. And I would coach. I help my son's team. I love being on the ice with kids. I got my camp actually starting here tomorrow at Glacier. So I think it's the first time we've been back here in 10 years, my Simply Defense camp. And, I love doing that. I love being on the ice. I love doing private lessons. Like I said, Monday, Wednesday, I have a group of guys that have been skating, my son's age and then some older guys. And it's a lot of fun. But to coach today with some of the parents, and it's tough. It really is.
It's
a shame.
I don't get it. Blummer. Think of, let's just narrow it down. I'll use basketball as an example and the state of Michigan. How many high schools there are in the state of Michigan, okay? And how many basketball teams or how many high schools field a basketball team? Just about everybody who's got a school that's got 20 kids in it fields a basketball team. And every team for every school has its best player. And every best player from every team in every school, how many are going to go on to even get a college scholarship?
Right.
Best player for all the team. Yep. How many of them are even going to go on and get a college scholarship? And how many of them are going to go to a big college?
Right.
That's why it's such a big deal when you get a kid in the area who goes to a big school, like we talk about Romeo Weems in New Haven. He's going to go to DePaul, and he could have gone to Michigan or Michigan State or pretty much anywhere he wanted to. Name me another kid in basketball in the area that we've talked about like that, and you can't think of one unless you're going way, 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 way back. Your kid's not going pro.
Right.
Those are just the facts of the situation. Your kids aren't going pro, so relax. Relax and enjoy it.
Well, that's exactly. You have to enjoy it. And like I said, just even with my daughter, it's enjoyable. Yeah, I get frustrated? Absolutely, I do. But you got to enjoy it. At the end of the day, it's like her and I have a great relationship. And, you know, it's yeah, I give it to her for about a half hour afterwards sometimes.
Yeah.
When I know she wasn't practicing all week and goes out and posts a big number, yeah, she's going to get it. But, you know, but it's over. Like, we don't harbor it and carry it on. And you know, I don't know. It's just, it's a game. At the end of the day, all these sports is a game. And the sad part, like you talk about sports, everything's becoming year-round. Hockey's year-round now. Baseball's year-round now. Everything's year-round.
Yeah, and kids aren't playing multiple sports anymore, and it's actually better for them.
Right.
It's better for you if you play baseball, and then you go and play soccer, and then you're on the football team in the fall, and you're playing hockey in the winter. It's better for you.
Like, I'm talking to a couple of NHL scouts, and they want athletes still. And the sad part is some of these parents, because – they're trying to specialize and think that this is the way it needs to be. I need to be on the ice all summer long. No, you don't. They're going to tournaments every weekend in the summer now. Yeah. And I just, I don't know. I mean, I look at the guys that I played with, and again, I speak mainly for hockey, but as an athlete, like we talked about Bobby. Bobby's a great athlete.
Okay. Yeah, he played baseball. Yeah. A lot of you guys would stay around in the summer playing the softball leagues. Right.
Like, I'd like to, you know, I mean – for the most part, all the guys I played with, college or pro, were good at baseball, were, you know, could play tennis, could play golf. You know, the Canadians weren't very good at basketball. They thought they were, but, you know, but we would play basketball. I mean, we were all athletes that could pick, you know, throw a ball, you know, shoot a ball, shoot a basketball, kick a soccer ball even.
Yeah.
And today, like, you know, there's just kids out there. There's kids that can't ride bikes at 12 years old. They can't throw a baseball. Because, and I'm talking again, hockey players, because it's all been specialized and it's being, and they don't realize that, yeah, we were fortunate. You know, my brother making it to, you know, playing 250 NHL games was fortunate. He worked for it, but he was fortunate. Us that even played in the minors here, we were fortunate. You know, we're a small percentage. And every sport, it's the same way. I mean, basketball, what is there, NBA? 12 guys on an NBA team?
Yeah.
It's not many. No. Hockey, there's 20, and it's still hard to get there. And there's not even really minor leagues for basketball. No. You know?
And the other thing about it, my final point on this, Blummer, is if your son or daughter is that good, they'll find them.
Oh, they absolutely
will. They'll find them.
Absolutely.
Don't worry about it. No. Don't worry about what coach is doing at Bell Tire or wherever. Right.
But they don't believe
it. If they're that good, they will be found.
Yeah. You're good enough to, and that's an old adage. If you're good enough, they'll find you. And, you know, parents don't want to hear that today. Kids don't want to hear it today. But at the end of the day, it's still the truth.
Parents, get your kids out to play wiffle ball.
Yeah,
wiffle ball World Series.
Big kids, we're going out and having fun for a weekend. It gets a little competitive, but it's at the end of the day, it's fun. It's about having a good time, and we enjoy doing it. And like I said, it's 3 days. I get to see we have a lot of fun stuff going on over there from morning till night.
10th, 11th, and 12th in Blummer's backyard at Wiffle Ball Park. It's legit. Be there. Hey, Blummer, thanks for coming in.
No problem, buddy. I'll see you next Friday.
All right. We're going to take a break now, but we'll be back with more of the Dennis Stuckey Show in just a moment here on WPHM.